I think it's transmitting quicker right now than it did in March and April, particularly with some of the younger folks.
Coronavirus cases rise sharply. It's Monday, July 6th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all under the name VOA Asia. Also ahead, the U.S. economy takes a step in the right direction. We look at the foreign policy of a U.S. presidential contender. President Trump marks Independence Day with stern messages, space news, and live performances in the age of COVID. It's all on today's VOA Asia. India has added a record number of coronavirus cases, approaching Russia as the world's third most infected nation as it opens a mass treatment center in the capital to fight the pandemic. The health ministry Sunday reported just under 25,000 cases and 613 deaths in 24 hours. That's the biggest daily spike since the first case was detected in late January. The sharp rise came as Delhi started treating patients at a spiritual center converted into a sprawling isolation facility and hospital with 10,000 beds, many of them made of cardboard. The United States is now in the midst of a new spike of COVID-19 in the last weekend of June after some states decided to loosen their lockdown measures. Confirmed coronavirus cases in the United States surpassed 2.5 million. Lilia Anisimova and Victor Olenyak have the story, narrated by Anna Rice.
Arizona, Texas, and Florida have become the new U.S. epicenters of COVID-19, with Arizona home to over 20,000 new cases in just a week.
People would look in Arizona, we'd look afar to New York and say, oh, those poor people there, right, on the other side of the country. And now we're outpacing New York, outpacing other places in the world.
Many locals followed lockdown and social distancing recommendations when the measures were first announced in mid-March. Then state and local officials began relaxing restrictions by mid-May, after the number of cases began to drop. However, since then, the rate of coronavirus infections has soared.
This is have less to do with any new virus strains or, mutations of the virus. I think it's mostly because the policy of, stay home expired. So people start to go to work and people start to feel a little relaxed.
Experts warn the state's healthcare system is reaching full capacity.
We're already, close to 85-88%, I believe is the last check, of capacity in our ICUs throughout the state. So that doesn't leave very much room for any space.
Many believed the hot summer months would help flatten the spike of COVID-19 cases, making it easier for communities to reopen. Now experts say the sunny and hot weather hasn't necessarily weakened the virus and continue to urge the public to wear face masks and practice social distancing. Like Texas, Florida's governor closed bars for a second time because of the surge of COVID cases.
I think it's transmitting quicker right now than it did in March and April, particularly with some of the younger folks. I mean, what we're seeing in Florida is really rapid transmission in that 18 to 34 age group, and you're seeing a lot of cases come up.
Despite the threat, people continue to socialize outdoors, some without social distancing. Miami-Dade County announced all beaches and parks will be closed for the Independence Day weekend from July 3rd to July 7th.
I mean, 4th of July, coronavirus, yeah, I think it's the perfect time to close it. Especially here, everybody likes to crowd up, so prevention, I'd rather them close it than keep it open.
For now, restaurants and malls remain open in Florida with a number of safety and social distancing restrictions back in place. For Lilia Anisimova and Victor Laning from Miami, Florida and Arizona, I'm Anna Rice, VOA News.
You can read more on this story and much more when you visit our website at voanews.com. You'll also find stories on our Facebook page at VOA Asia and on Twitter, also at VOA Asia. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you make a visit to voanews.com. Canada suspends extradition treaty with Hong Kong. U.S. envoy forges ahead with troubled Taliban peace deal. NATO steps in amid reports of COVID-19 hitting Afghan forces. two U.S. aircraft carriers conduct exercises in South China Sea. North Korea says it has no immediate plans to resume nuclear negotiations with the United States. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and a whole lot more when you visit Facebook at VOA Asia. You can also stop by our voanews.com website. You're listening to VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. The United States added 4.8 million jobs in June, and the unemployment rate fell to 11.1% as the job market improved for the second straight month. This comes as parts of the CARES Act, a pandemic-related relief bill passed by the U.S. Congress, is set to expire soon, and the country experiences a spike in new coronavirus infections. VOA correspondent Mariama Diallo reports.
President Donald Trump says the positive jobs report Thursday shows the U.S. economy is, quote, roaring back from the coronavirus. U.S. employers added nearly 5 million jobs in June, and the unemployment rate fell to 11.1%.
It's coming back extremely strong. We have some areas where we're putting out the flames or the fires, and that's working out well. We're working very closely with governors. And I think it's working out very well.
Earlier this week, testifying before the House Financial Services Committee, U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin says the next round of economic aid should focus on struggling businesses such as restaurants and hotels.
We would anticipate that any additional relief would be targeted to certain industries that have been especially hard hit by the pandemic, with a focus on jobs and putting all Americans back to work.
To alleviate some of the hardship caused by the pandemic, Congress allocated $660 billion for the Paycheck Protection Program to help business survive and keep their employees. PPP was set to expire on Tuesday, but the Senate approved a temporary extension until August 8th. Another provision of the CARES Act, $600 weekly unemployment benefits, will expire later this month.
The PPP is keeping tens of millions of employees connected to their jobs. Economic impact payments are also helping millions of families and workers through these challenging months. Certain industries, such as construction, are recovering quickly, while others, such as retail and travel, are facing longer impacts and may require additional relief.
Jerome Powell, chairman of the Federal Reserve, says while recent economic data offers some positive signs, it's important to remember that more than 20 million Americans have recently lost their jobs.
The rise in joblessness has been especially severe for lower-wage workers, for women, and for African Americans and Hispanics. The path forward for the economy remains extraordinarily uncertain and will depend in large part on our success in containing the virus.
New coronavirus infections have skyrocketed in many parts of the U.S., in some cases more than doubled in June in at least 10 states, including Texas and Florida.
We are now having 40-plus thousand new cases a day. I would not be surprised if we go up to 100,000 a day if this does not turn around, and so I am very concerned.
It's a reality that Anthony Fauci and other top health officials warn could get worse unless some people change their behavior.
Film clips that you've seen of people congregating, often without masks, of being in crowds and jumping over and avoiding and not paying attention to the guidelines that we very carefully put out, we're going to continue to be in a lot of trouble, and there's going to be a lot of hurt if that does not stop.
As a result of the spike in new cases, at least 19 states have put a brake on reopening plans. Mariama Diallo, VOA News, Washington.
Happening now in Asia, deep floodwaters and the risk of more mudslides that left at least 34 people confirmed or presumed dead hampered search and rescue operations Sunday in southern Japan, including at an elderly home facilities where more than a dozen died and scores were still stranded. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, if elected, Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden says he would reverse President Trump's decisions to withdraw from the Iran nuclear deal and the Paris Climate Change Accord. But VOA's Brian Patton reports there are other foreign policy areas, like North Korea's nuclear program and withdrawing U.S. troops from Afghanistan and Syria, where the differences between the two presidential contenders seem less clear.
Joe Biden slammed President Trump on Tuesday for what Biden sees as the president's passive response to intelligence reports the Russians paid Taliban fighters to kill American soldiers. Trump claims he was not briefed and that the reports were not credible.
So the idea that somehow he didn't know or isn't being briefed, it is a dereliction of duty if that's the case. And if he was briefed and nothing was done about this, that's a dereliction of duty.
Biden, who was President Barack Obama's vice president, has been a fierce critic of what Biden calls Trump's haphazard and dangerous foreign policy. In January, he said Trump put the U.S. on the brink of war after a U.S. airstrike killed a top Iranian general in retaliation for deadly Iranian-backed attacks on Americans in Iraq.
The failure to consult with our allies or Congress and the reckless disregard for the consequences that would surely follow was, in my view, dangerously incompetent.
However, tensions eased after Iran retaliated with a non-lethal missile attack against a U.S. military base in Iraq. In contrast to Trump's reliance on unilateral action to confront U.S. security threats, Biden promises to work closely with Democratic allies and prioritize negotiation over confrontation. Biden is closer to Trump's position on ending U.S. military involvement in Afghanistan and Syria, continuing negotiations with North Korea to end its nuclear program, and confronting China's suppression of human rights in Hong Kong. But critics question how effective Biden can be in leading an international response with the left wing of the Democratic Party opposed to military interventions. Add to that pressing domestic challenges Biden would face in the coronavirus pandemic, growing unemployment, and racial injustice protests at home.
He's got a huge and very expensive agenda that he's already signed up to. So the likelihood of a sort of traditional revival of American assertive leadership and particularly intervention in crises, I'm a little bit skeptical of.
Biden would likely rejoin the Iran nuclear deal negotiated by the Obama administration that Trump pulled out of, arguing the accord did not limit ballistic missile development and support for Iranian-backed militias. Biden would recommit the U.S. to the Paris Climate Accord signed by nearly 200 countries, cutting greenhouse gas emissions from cars and factories to counter global warming. But Biden said he would not rejoin the Obama-era Trans-Pacific Partnership Free Trade Pact that Trump rejected until stronger protections for labor and American jobs are added. Brian Patton, VOA News, Washington.
After you listen to VOA Asia, you can see VOA Asia. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free. See us often at VOA Asia YouTube.
This news from VOA Asia. Canada has suspended its extradition treaty with Hong Kong after local authorities moved swiftly to implement China's new security law in the territory. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said his country is a firm believer in the principle of one country, two systems for Hong Kong. You'll find more throughout the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. We continue with VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. U.S. President Donald Trump spent the 4th of July weekend at Independence Day celebrations in South Dakota and Washington. He used both events to deliver a strong message on law and order, the platform that his campaign is focusing on ahead of the November election. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Sawara traveled with Trump to South Dakota and tells us more.
A celebration of America's independence above Mount Rushmore, in front of a crowd of thousands, most not wearing masks. Oh, President Donald Trump delivered a dark and somber speech presenting a re-election campaign platform focused on law and order to rally his supporters against what he calls the new far-left fascism.
We will expose this dangerous movement, protect our nation's children, end this radical assault, and preserve our beloved American way of life.
Trump's visit to this giant monument of past American presidents came after months of Black Lives Matter protests, and as his administration clamped down on protesters who want to remove statues of figures who supported slavery and white supremacy. He delivered a strong rebuke of what he called the cancel culture against the country's heritage.
This monument will never be desecrated. These heroes will never be defaced. Their legacy will never, ever be destroyed. Their achievements will never be forgotten. And Mount Rushmore will stand forever as an eternal tribute to our forefathers and to our freedom.
Vanessa Beasley teaches presidential rhetoric at Vanderbilt University.
Trying to say to his base audience, hey, if you don't like what's happening with all these monuments, I'm going to go to the biggest and most immovable monument there is, and I'm going to claim it as my own.
In a speech that some have called divisive, Trump portrayed the left as an angry mob that incites chaos and steers the country towards totalitarianism.
We will not be tyrannized, we will not be demeaned, and we will not be intimidated by bad evil people.
The us versus them speech came as Trump trails in political surveys, further behind his Democratic campaign rival, former Vice President Joe Biden. Nationally, in key battleground states, and even in traditionally conservative strongholds like Missouri and Texas. Michael Cornfield teaches politics at George Washington University.
Right now, his campaign is a dumpster fire. And I say that not just because of the polls, but because there are Republicans who are vocally opposed to him.
A National Pew Research poll shows Trump 10 percentage points behind Biden. In 2016, Trump managed to beat Hillary Clinton despite her lead in the polls. Robert Griffin is research director of the Democracy Fund Voter Study Group.
There's still a lot of time between now and the election, and 2020, if anything, has shown itself to be a rather tumultuous year. But at present, the president certainly, I think, has a lot to worry about. And it looks like an uphill climb for him.
As new coronavirus cases surpass 50,000 daily, and despite health officials urging Americans to scale back 4th of July celebrations this year, Trump also held a Salute to America event at the White House. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News.
How to stay healthy. Wash your hands with soap and water before you eat, after using the toilet, after touching anything many other people touch, like a seat on a public bus. Scrub thoroughly for 20 seconds. If you cannot wash your hands, use a hand sanitizer. Taking these steps can prevent not only coronavirus, but also colds and flu and other viruses.
This is VOA Asia. Astronauts aboard the International Space Station accidentally added to the floating piles of space debris. Plus, researchers using a very large telescope learned more about an Earth-like planet light years away. And satellite imagery followed a dust storm on our planet's surface. VOA's Arash Arabasadi brings us This Week in Space.
Two astronauts went on a spacewalk and one had part of a spacesuit fall off.
That was a real bummer for me. I had no idea how it happened. The wrist mirrors are on your wrist kind of tight. I mean, they're on there pretty snug. I just happened to glance down and I saw this reflecting thing disappearing into the darkness. And that was the last I saw of it.
The lost mirror joins millions of other pieces of debris already floating around space. Meanwhile, in northern Chile, researchers using the Very Large Telescope Interferometer, or VLTI, measured details of the orbit of a system some 63 million light years away.
So if you imagine walking around covering your eye, your depth perception is not great. But so when you use two eyes, you can see kind of details and depth perception much better. And this kind of Very Large Telescope Interferometer that allows you to see much more details about these planetary systems.
The VLTI is an array of telescopes capturing images from different angles, giving researchers a clearer picture of the cosmos.
The reason that we care about this is because we really want to understand how solar systems or planetary systems form. It's all kind of this big question of why are we here? How did we get here?
University of Michigan professor Sue Lepre says even seeing planets far away is another step in our journey through space, but adds that travel to other solar systems is still far, far away. And also from space imagery, a massive plume of Saharan dust turned clear skies brown across much of the Caribbean. Dust storms happen this time of year, but meteorologists say this year was the most dense in half a century. Saharan dust typically helps form beaches and fertilize Amazonian soil. Finally this week, NASA released a 61-minute time lapse of the sun where every second is one day. The space agency captured 425 million high-resolution images over the past decade to make this possible. That's The Week in Space. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News, Washington.
As the number of COVID cases continue to rise in the United States, theater producers are seeking out ways to stay connected to their art and audience and keep actors employed. Deanna Mitchell explores what happens when the show that must go on struggles during a pandemic.
It was really heartbreaking. I knew people that were in the middle of production, or I think there were at least a couple shows I knew people that had just opened. They just got one night. Their opening night was their closing night.
COVID-19 hit the theater industry hard. As cases increase around the United States, many Broadway productions and regional theater are postponing until spring 2021, or even longer.
The American theater is our audiences tend to be older, and so they fall into the high-risk category. The theater won't come back until the audiences are ready to come back, and that may actually demand either a vaccine or some kind of therapy.
Many regional theaters, like those in the San Francisco Bay Area, are nonprofits and run on tight budgets. While so many are out of work, those who have the resources to are drawing on their ingenuity to live up to the adage, the show must go on.
Because we are nonprofit theaters, we are mission driven. From our perspective, it's less about how many tickets we can sell and much more about getting these stories out there, about creating these experiences for our audiences.
Elizabeth Carter, producing a modern take on King Lear, has gone totally online. She cast women and people of color in traditionally white male roles and said for her, canceling was never an option she considered.
We have George Floyd and a resurgence in actually having conversations about race. So it feels really, really poignant right now.
Though it has not been without challenges, Carter directs the entire cast from her laptop.
Everyone has stepped up. They all have green screens and light kits and all these things in their homes. We say we're building the ship as we're flying it.
Jim Kleinman, who runs a large theater festival, switched his entire operation to Zoom, calling it Playground Zoom Fest.
It's still about sharing the energy of creating something that you're seeing as it's happening. If the actor misses a line or if a technical flub happens and the virtual background doesn't click on, that's just like when a light cue is missed or a sound cue is missed, and we still keep performing.
Everyone admits this is not a replacement for live.
That live experience of being in a space, whether it's a concert or a play or a dance, we call it the collective breath. It's when everyone suddenly catches their breath at a moment because you're all seeing the same thing and you're all having that same experience. And this just, you just can't synchronize that across Zoom.
Hopefully this new platform for productions extends a lifeline to the community that lasts until it is safe to come together again. For VOA News, Dina Mitchell, Oakland, California.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you missed part of our program, no worries. You can go to our website at voanews.com and find our full-length programs there, where you can stream them or download them. You'll also find us on Facebook at VOA Asia, on Twitter, Instagram, and you can see us on YouTube. We thank our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Pulpyboon. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. Be safe. Be well.